Good morning. You'll notice on the back of your bulletin, we have some prayer requests listed there. Before we jump into the sermon, let's take a couple of moments and bring these requests before the Lord as well. So would you bow with me in prayer? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the many reminders this morning already of who you are. Father, thank you that you are faithful, that your faithfulness endures no matter what our circumstances, no matter how we may be feeling. And so, Father, we praise you for this, and Lord, we count on your faithfulness. Father, as we think of the family of Henry Bolig, who passed away here, we pray, Father, that you would be their peace, and that you would be their rock to which they may continually come in this time of mourning loss. And Father, would you sustain them, we pray. May they sense your presence with them, Father. We pray for those who are struggling with illnesses, for Jake Fair and Ed Lowen. Father, there's a lot of uncertainties. We ask that here again, that you would minister to them, that you would touch their body, that you would touch their heart and their soul, and that you would bring wholeness to them, Lord, that you would bring healing. Father, we pray that this would give you much, much praise and glory. And we think also of Tyson Schmidt. He's not listed in the bulletin here, but Lord, a local 16-year-old who is in an accident over on Friday, I believe. Father, we're not certain of his condition, but you are, Lord. You know where he is at physically. You know where he's at emotionally and spiritually. And so here again, Father, we praise you for the protection that you've given so far. Father, we give you thanks. And we ask that you'd continue to bless him and to bless his family, Lord. Would you touch them with your healing power? We praise you for Lindsay Fair and for her team there from Vancouver Island as they're going to be heading out to Mexico. Father, it's exciting to hear of the desire they have to serve. Would you give them a boldness and a courage as they share your word, as they share your love through serving and helping others? Father, would you give them safety as they travel and unity as a team? Father, that they would be united in love and purpose. Father, we pray your blessing on them and ask that you would be, that you'd be giving them a fruitful ministry and time of serving, and that your name would be praised there, Father. We pray also for our sister church, Anola Fellowship Chapel. Father, we thank you for the faithful brothers and sisters in this church, for John and Brenda Cousins. Father, would you bless them as well with insight and vision and purpose as a church? Father, that they would sense your direction for the church and their community. God, would you help them to be effective in reaching the non-Christians in their community? And so we thank you for the desire they have to serve. We pray your blessing for them. And now, Father, as we look into your word and as we look at our own lives, Father, I pray that you would bless us with a willingness to surrender our lives to you, an openness to your word and to you, Holy Spirit, that we would let you work and move among us. And so we praise you this morning, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm not sure about you, but I do enjoy comic books. I don't read them a whole lot, but I enjoy when I can. I think comic book writers, they seem to have a way of exaggerating tendencies we have, making fun of tendencies we have, even when we might be ashamed of it. They make us laugh about it. And here's a shot I want to share with you. It's from one of my favorite comics called Zitz. Looks like a busy guy. He's got a lot on the go. Multitasking, right? Back in the 60s, Time magazine reported that with advances in technology, thinking our computers, phones, everything, with advances in technology, sometime in the 80s, the greatest challenge people would face is what to do with all their free time. Now, I don't think we really find that as a challenge, right? We have lots to do, right? We're always seem to be busy, always doing something, trying to get more done. sometimes we get lost in the hurry and lost in the noise. I think that would fit the bill right there. Now picture a marriage relationship. If that's what a marriage relationship looked like, always busy and doing something, getting caught up in the noise, what would it look like? For example, my wife Valine and I, we've had some conversations about what it's like when I'm sitting at home with her and busy texting or on the phone, when I have that glazed, kind of far-off look in my eye, when I'm thinking about work or something that I have to do or a project, when I'm home but I'm not really home. Or if we're guilty of sitting in front of the TV or the computer, kind of physically present but a little bit distant. If that's the only kind of time that we were to spend together as a couple, we wouldn't have a very close relationship together. Because it builds distance between us. We don't really get to know each other. We don't really get connected with one another if that's the only kind of time that we spend together, if we're just doing our own thing all the time. Always doing something, always being busy, it tends to get in the way of relationship. And so a question this morning is, do you think that happens in our relationship with God as well? Getting caught up in the hurry and the noise. How does that impact our relationship with God? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 to 9. Here we have Jesus doing what he does very well, telling stories and telling parables to make a point, to teach people. And this is the parable of the sower. Matthew 13, and we'll start at verse 3. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. So here he's talking about different kinds of soil, and this being us, our life, how we receive Jesus. How have we received the message of Christ? And I want to focus just a little bit on one of them. Verse 22 reflects on the seed that fell among thorns. Verse 22, Jesus is explaining it here, saying, the one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. The worries of this life, the cares of this life. Do you think constant hurry and noise is a part of the worries of this life? Getting so caught up in the here and now, in busyness? Do you suppose hurry and busyness would have the same effect as the worries of this life and deceitfulness of wealth? I think it becomes a weed that chokes out our relationship with God, our Heavenly Father. It chokes out the desire that we once had to know God, the desire we had to follow Him and to serve Him. And I think somehow we feel really important as people. I know for myself as a guy, I feel really important if, you know, I've put in some really long hours. I worked really hard. I know back when I was in between years of college, 1 month I put in about 270 hours, and I figured, wow, that's a good accomplishment right there, right? We somehow feel good about ourselves. Maybe we want to get busy because we don't want to deal with emotions or difficulties in our life. So we just stay where it's busy and noisy. Maybe we get comfortable with constant motion, always something happening, and that's where we have a bit of explanation from Zitz again. Dad comes up and says, Jeremy, can I talk to you? Just unplug, close, make it fast. I'm uncomfortable outside my state of perpetual connectivity. That's how we are sometimes, right? We always got to be doing something, always connected somewhere. But I think in whatever form it takes, I think the weeds only grow taller this way. I think it distances us from our Heavenly Father. So what do you suppose the remedy is? What can we do about this? I think we see an example in Jesus' life. If we flip over a few pages to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verses 29 to 34. Here we see Jesus, he's busy, right? A lot of people are calling for his attention. A lot of people have great needs, they have great pain, and they're coming to him. He's in high demand. Mark 1, verse 29. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Jesus had lots going on. He had lots happening. And how did he respond in these times? Or not even just in the busy times, but verse 35, we see a response here. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Jesus knew how to stop and how to simply be with his Father. He knew how to slow down, stop, and be with his Father. Sometimes we call this having a quiet time. We might call it having morning devotions or evening devotions. Whatever name we put to it, if we're going to know God, if we're going to follow God and be effective as a Christian, but as a whole church, then we need to stop and be with God. We need to cut out the hurry and the noise. And I know sometimes it feels counterproductive, right? To stop and not be doing anything, right? Because I have to be doing something. I have to be productive. But it's not always about doing. As a Christian, as a child of God, it's not always about doing and working. Sometimes it's about being. Stopping and being with our Father. In Luke chapter 5, I'll just read there, 5 verse 15 and 16. Here we have again, showing that this wasn't just a one-time thing for Jesus. It says, "Yet the news about him spread all the more, so the crowds of people came to hear him and be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." Jesus often withdrew. He took time to get away. It was a priority for him. And so if it was a priority for Jesus, if he needed to get away to have quiet time with his Father, if he needed that, how much do we need that as people? So I want to take a look at a few things that we gain, a few things that we find as we take time to stop and be with our Father. I think first, one thing that we find is that we see who God is. I want to ask a question of the kids. How many of you were here at VBS this past summer or the summer before? How many of you were at VBS last while? Okay, so we got a few. What was it called? Something that you were supposed to do every day at VBS. You're supposed to go home and look for something, and then come back and tell your crew leader about it the next day. What was that called? Anybody? What was that called? Yes, watch for God. Did they call it a God sighting, maybe? Might have had different names for it. God sightings. This is a good practice for all of us. God sightings. And I find I'm not so good at God sightings when I'm just running and running all the time, when I immerse myself in the noise, right? God sightings. I had one the other day. Had a bit of time outside and just looking over the snow. And it's a reminder of Psalm chapter 51. Where God, as a reminder that God washes us whiter than snow, right? He changes our hearts, and he washes us whiter than snow. Some of those God sightings, when we stop and take time to be with him, we begin to see more of who God is. Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4, I think points this out. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? The psalmist spent time in creation and just sitting and marveling at who this awesome God is. That he would create such a huge universe and that he would be mindful of us, small and seemingly insignificant humans. And this happens as we slow down and take time to be with our Father. We see who he is. I think as well, when we stop to be with our Father, we worship. Worship is kind of a natural response when we see who God is. Thinking of instances in the Bible where people had a vision of an angel or a vision of God, what was their response? Often they were flat on their faces, right? They would bow, they'd be on their knees before God. When they came before God, when they saw who he was, they worshiped. We submit ourselves to God. We praise him and give him the credit that is due to him. Psalm 8, verse 9, that's from the same chapter we just read. As the psalmist just saw the wonder of God's creation, at the end of the chapter, he ends in worship. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. So it's easy for me to come to quiet times or devotional times thinking, okay, what can God do for me? I need help. I need something here. And we do benefit from our quiet time with God. There's no doubt about that. But worship is where we realize that God deserves our full attention, whether he agrees to solve every one of our problems or not. After all, it is about him. It's not about me. This is his story. We are his servants in his kingdom. And so we begin to worship. And this is something that we realize as we stop and as we spend time with him. We begin to worship. I think we also begin to build relationship as we stop to be with God. A couple of summers ago, after some time at Riverside Bible Camp, I was spending time in the cabin with the senior high boys. Great way to spend a week, by the way. But a friend asked me, what does it mean to have a personal relationship with Jesus? And that kind of got me thinking. A year of kind of discussion on that topic. How do we describe it? How do we actually know what it's like to have a relationship with Jesus? Because so often in my life, I had moments or times where I did devotions out of guilt or out of a feeling of I have to, right? If I'm a good Christian, then I have to do these things. It was a motivation of guilt rather than love and relationship. I mean, we are God's servants, but he also calls us his children. And that's a wonderful picture, a very intimate picture. John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. Here Jesus is praying. He's praying for us. He's praying for his disciples right then and for all believers. He says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so the world may believe that you have sent me. We can be found in Christ, in God. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, the Apostle Paul writes, what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. Everything else is garbage compared to the value of knowing Jesus. God wants relationship with us. He wants not just our actions, but he wants our heart. And kind of going back to the marriage relationship illustration, if we're going to build a personal relationship, we need to give the other person our heart and our time. And it's the same way with our Heavenly Father. As we begin to give him our heart and our time, then we begin to build relationship, begin to grow closer to him. I think as we stop to be with God, we also find direction for our life. How many of you grads have had the question asked of you, what are you going to do after you graduate? How many of you had that question? And how many of you have been frustrated by that question? I didn't like that question because I didn't know. I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. What should I do with the money that I'm saving up? If I can save up money, right? What should I do with my money? How should I deal with a friend or with a coworker who's just being horrible, who's being impossible to please or who's hurt me? Maybe you're wondering about where should I serve in the church or in the community? Where should I get involved? Maybe we're wondering about what goals or what purpose or what vision is there for Christ's church in La Crete, for me as a believer in La Crete. These are things that we need to pray about, searching for God's direction, for his instruction. These are questions on our hearts that we need to search the Lord for. James chapter 1, verse 5 has always been very encouraging for me. It gives me hope that my prayers aren't just hitting the ceiling. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. God wants to give us direction. He wants to guide our steps. If we give him our heart and our time, he will work through that with us, through other people, through his word, through his spirit working in our spirit. As we spend time with him, he directs us. I think we also find peace as we stop to be with our Father. This is something that we all need, right? We all have times where we are really in turmoil or anxiety or worry or trials, and we need peace. Psalm 73, in this chapter, the psalmist is writing about envy. He's been kind of envious or even bitter towards the wicked. Right? The wicked people, they don't have to worry about trying to be good. They don't worry about caring for other people. They just look after themselves, and they seem to have it so easy. Right? They have money. They live just as long as everyone else, sometimes even longer. It all seems so easy for the wicked people. He says in Psalm 73, verse 13, surely in vain have I kept my heart pure. In vain have I washed my hands in innocence. Some pretty big questions going on in this guy's mind. But in verse 16 and 17, I think we find a turning point. When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me, till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. This guy was having really big struggles until he entered God's sanctuary, until he took time to see more, okay, God, where are you in this? Where are you at with my questions and my struggles? And it's amazing how we can find peace even in the midst of a trial. I mean, life isn't easy, we know that, but we can find peace in trials when we see some of the greatness of God, when we experience his presence and his care. As we stop to be with him, I think he gives us peace. As we stop to be with God, we also find strength. I like to think that I'm strong. I mean, looking at me, everyone immediately assumes that I'm incredibly strong. You know, I can bench press 75 pounds, right? Isn't that good? Right? We assume that I have enough ideas or creativity to get through this thing, right? If I'm in a bind, I can get through it. I have it figured out, right? I have some good endurance. Really, when it comes down to it, I don't have that much strength on my own. And sometimes, unfortunately, we have to hit a wall before we realize it. We kind of get backed into the corner at the end of our rope, between a rock and a hard place, some of these sayings. And these are the moments when we realize we have to stop just trying harder, stop just pushing harder, and hand it over to our Father. We see that he is the strong one. He is the one that gives us the strength. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 to 9 gives such a powerful reminder. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that all this surpassing power is from God and not from us. If you drop a clay jar, chances are it's going to break, right? It's not super strong on its own. It's not as durable as metal or even plastic sometimes, right? It's not all that strong, but the surpassing power is from God and not from us. We're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. I think it's a good reminder here that our strength is from the Lord. As we take time and give him our heart and our thoughts, as we submit to him, he gives us the strength to continue. So what can it look like to stop and be with God, right? We can talk about it and know we're supposed to do something, but what do we actually do? How does it look in our lives? I think sometimes, I know for me, I've really benefited from having an extended time away, whether it's a morning or an afternoon or even a whole day, where I say, you know what, I'm going to turn off my phone. For me, I like to get outdoors, out in creation. I'm going to get away from people and have a bit of quiet time, just me and God. Sometimes it's that retreat kind of idea. But we also need daily times with our Father. About a year ago, Valerie and I enjoyed a couples retreat called A Weekend to Remember. I know Family Life Canada puts it on. We really enjoyed that weekend. They gave us a lot of good laughs, a lot of good insights, good stuff to work on. And that marriage retreat on its own was enough to carry us through an entire year without having to really spend much more time in our marriage, right? You're laughing because you know better. We need that daily time together as a couple, right? A retreat once a year isn't enough to keep a marriage going. We need that daily time together to build relationships with people. A retreat with God once a year isn't enough to keep a relationship going with him either, right? We need that daily time with our Father. Maybe it'll come in kind of a disciplined, scheduled time in the morning. You know, right before work, I'm going to take this time, or over my lunch hour, or in the evening. Maybe it's that disciplined time that you have set aside. Maybe it's even just a quiet moment in the middle of your day. I know sometimes I enjoyed when I was working, if I was in the truck and waiting to get loaded up, and I was kind of in line, and I knew I had 15 minutes to wait. Maybe I'll turn off my radio and just sit here and reflect or pray or pop open my Bible. I know at Home Hardware, when I worked there for a couple of years, there was once in a while I'd walk out during lunch hour and a coworker was sitting beside the lumber pile eating his lunch. I thought that was a strange place to do that, but he was looking for a quiet place, right? Place to get away. Maybe it's while you're driving to school or on the drive to work. Maybe it's if you have a quiet moment as a mother at home while the kids are outside or if they're napping. But we need to choose to have this quiet time, this time alone with our Father. A stat I read recently, North American average is about 4 hours a day with the television. And I guess you could throw other media in there too, right? It could be TV, it could be computer, texting, music, something like that. But about 4 hours a day that the average North American spends with this kind of media or technology. At the same time, the North American average for Christians was about 10 minutes a day spent alone with their Heavenly Father. And so that's a huge difference in how we spend our time. If we want more time with our Father, we need to be intentional, maybe even cutting some of these things back, right? Maybe cutting back on texting or on internet use or music or sports or just activity itself to maybe just cut back. That gives us some more time to spend alone with our Father. And then it becomes not just something that I have to do, but it becomes something that we long to do. So spending time with our Father in that fellowship becomes such a blessing for us. Because close relationships don't just happen. We can't just picture it like floating in a tube down the river. We just do whatever we want and we'll just float along. We know relationships don't work that way with people. We have to put effort and time in, give our hearts. And it's the same with our Heavenly Father. We need to be intentional about spending quality time with our Father. Maybe it's going to be reading through Scripture. Maybe it's going to be, you know, in poetry or art, just kind of reflecting on God in those ways. Maybe it'll be just fixing your thoughts on him and being silent. I think being quiet and spending time with our Father involves prayer as well. You know, we can pray quietly, we can pray out loud. I know for me, sometimes it helps to journal my prayers because sometimes it feels like there's a bunch of monkeys jumping around in my brain and I can't keep on one train of thought for a while. So if I'm writing, okay, this works, God, this helps me. There's lots of ways we can spend time with our Father, reflecting on him, worshiping him, bringing our thoughts and our life to him. And so however it works in your own life, in my own life, it's worth our while to cut out some of the noise and some of the hurry and stop and be with him. He deserves it, and we definitely need it as well. So I'm going to take a few minutes for us to where I'll stop talking and where we can practice this. And it might be awkward because we don't often have extended moments of silence in the church. And don't worry about it if babies are fussing a little bit. That's okay. That's normal. But we're going to be quiet for a few moments here and direct our thoughts to the Lord. I'll have some scriptures going on the screen that we can reflect on. And let him know what's going on in our heart or worship him. And so we're just going to take a few minutes to spend in quiet with our Father. Let's just pray together. Lord God, I thank you that you are with us and that you know our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that we can live our life with you. So I ask, Father, that you would bless us and give us the courage and strength to say no to things that we need to. Give us the courage and the strength to say yes to you, Lord. And I pray that you would receive much glory as we do this. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for your love for us. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.